I'd like to share this morning from a very, very familiar verse, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. I'm sure most people can probably quote it by heart, and especially if you went to Max, we pounded into the kids, Jeremiah 29:11. I'm sure Josiah and Rachel can remember those days, but It's a beautiful verse, and as I was preparing it, kept coming back and back and back to me. In fact, this morning I woke up at 6 o'clock. I didn't feel very well, and I was quite sick, and I was kind of lying there trying to recover my strength, and that verse kept coming back and back and back to me. And I believe that the Lord wants to really speak to us this morning. I hope that when you come to church, you're not looking at me, because I am an earthen vessel. But you know, the wonderful miracle and mystery is that God uses ordinary people like us. And it's wonderful. I hope you come with an expectant heart, because when God's word is preached, and it's received with faith, it can change your life. And it's nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with Tom, as great a guy as Tom is. We love him. But I believe that God has been speaking through him over the last few weeks about his character. And I've really enjoyed thinking and meditating upon the character of God. And as we read this verse and as we think about it, I want us to really be thinking about who it is that's speaking these words. Because that really makes a difference, doesn't it? I could say, hey, I know the plans I have for you, says Steve. But, you know, it doesn't really matter what plans I have for your life. I mean, maybe my children, it maybe matters to them a little bit. But when we think of this verse, let's be thinking about who it is that is speaking these incredible words. The people of Israel were being judged. They were being punished for sin. They were in exile. They were living in Babylon. And there was false prophets that were saying, hey, we're going to be out of here soon, guys. Don't worry. It won't last long. And there was one unpopular prophet, Jeremiah, who was saying, guys, we're going to be here 70 years. And he was unpopular, wasn't he? And he was punished, and he was all kinds of suffering he went through. But he held true to the word of God. He said, we're going to be here 70 years. We're going to be here a while. And that's kind of the atmosphere of this incredible word that God speaks. God tells them to build houses, to bless the cities wherein they live. And then God speaks this word. Let's turn to it and read it. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Let's pray. Father, we ask you this morning, Lord, you spoke these words into being, Lord, hundreds of years ago. And Father, we know that you are the ever-speaking God. That when John looked upon Jesus, he said, in the beginning was the Word. Lord, that you speak and things change. Lord, when you speak, Lord, the cedars tremble. When you speak, Lord, mountains are reduced to dust. Lord, at your voice, the earth shakes. And Lord Jesus, this morning, would we believe that when you speak, things change. And we ask you, Father, to speak this morning. Oh God, I pray, speak to us, Lord, today. We need to hear your voice, Lord. We need to know the things that are on your heart, Lord. Lord, we don't want to hear the things of man and opinions and ideas. Lord, we want to hear from you this morning. And so, Father, we pray, oh God, speak to us through your word. For your son's sake and for your son's glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the first thing is that God is speaking to these people that they have a future. And as we look at our country, we look at our society, how rapidly things are changing. I was just watching a show on the BBC. He was talking about doomsday Americans and how America, unlike any other nation on earth, has this kind of doomsday attitude that there's people who are building underground shelters and people have massive stashes of weapons and armory. And as people are looking at the future, they're wondering what's going to happen. There are various people are saying, you know, we're heading for trouble. We're heading for problems. And then we look at the fabric of our society, especially in Minnesota. We know things are changing, aren't they? People are saying that, you know, it's okay for a man to marry a man. It doesn't matter if a man or a woman can marry a woman. And the next step is polygamy. The next step is, you know, anybody can marry anything or anyone. Because we're doing, as a society, what is right in our own eyes. And as we look at the future, we can sometimes be discouraged. We can think, what's happening? You know, what's happening to the church? You know, we hear about these pastors who are falling and false prophets that are speaking out. We wonder what's happening. We can get discouraged. But over all of that, God is speaking. I've got a future for you. I have a future for you. I have a wonderful, wonderful future for your life. And that's what I'd like to title my sermon this morning, God Has a Future for You. First thing, as we look at this verse, there are two I's and a Lord. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. And this word Lord is Yahweh. And Yahweh means the eternal, existing, immutable, the supreme God. And when we think about this, God, the supreme, the one who called the universe into being, the one who spoke the spiral galaxies into existence, the one who causes the grass to grow and the rivers to flow, this God says to us, I've got plans for your life. This God says to us, you've got a future and you've got a hope. This is the God who's speaking these words. Incredible. Incredible God that wants to be so involved in our lives. He says, listen, I've got a plan for you. I love you. I've called you by name. And you are mine. I've redeemed you. I've made a way for you in my Son, Jesus Christ. And I've got a future for you. Now, as we face a new year, a lot of times, you know, people, they say, well, look at the past and, yeah, we celebrate what God has done. And some people make resolutions, don't they, for the future. This year, I am going to stop chewing my nails. Or, you know, I don't know, this year I'm going to stop doing whatever. We can have all the good intentions in the world, but isn't it wonderful that God says, the God, the eternal God, Yahweh, says to us, listen, I know the plans I've got for you. I know them. They're in my heart. And they're plans to give you a future and a hope. I don't know if you look ahead and you look at the year to come and you think, oh no, another year. What possibly bad could happen again this year? It's been a terrible year. And what bad thing is going to happen? And God says, listen, I want to give you hope this morning. I want to give you hope that the supreme ruler of the universe, Almighty God Yahweh, says, I've got plans for you. Amen. I've got plans for your life. I've got hopes and plans for your life. I love that. It's so encouraging. And God's got plans for me. He's got plans for you. He's got plans for Bethel. He's got plans for whatever church you go to. God is bringing forth a bride. He's bringing forth a bride. He's never stopped. Matthew 16 says, doesn't he? I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Hell can't stop us. I'm going to build my church. I'm going to gather my bride from every kindred, tribe and nation. For I know the plans I've got for you, saith the Lord. And you know, we think very individually, don't we, as Westerners? Everything kind of centers around the individual. But actually, God was talking to a group of people, His chosen people, which is us. We're grafted in. So as a people, as His church, He's saying, I've got plans for you this year. I'm going to give you a future and a hope. So the first thing is, let's consider who is saying this. The second thing is, know, for I know. That word know means, it means that there's two senses in it. It's a commencing and a completing. So it's not the sense that God just knows what's going to happen, but He commences what's going to happen and He completes what's going to happen. Isn't that wonderful? That we are not just random happenings. Aren't you glad that our ancient ancestors didn't crawl out of a pool of slime billions of years ago? Amen. God birthed us, knit us together, as Psalm 139 says, in our mother's womb. That He put you together and He made you the way that He wanted you to be. Isn't that beautiful? He gave you your hair, your eyes, your physical abilities. He gave you your personality. He gave you your intellect. And some of us, we've prayed for more, haven't we? God, I just wish I was brighter. You know, I've prayed that many times. I tell the guys and the kids at school, you know, I was a C student. I wasn't an A or a B guy. I was just kind of a middle of the road guy. You know, everybody isn't going to be getting A's, are they? But God says, I put you together. I know you. I know the plans I have for you. And I'm commencing those plans. And I'm going to complete those plans. Isn't that wonderful? That word knowing is so rich. It's commencing and completing. Right? So God just doesn't know what's going to happen. He's involved in our lives on a day-to-day basis. Even though when we think of the universe, we're just a little speck in the universe. I don't know if you've seen some size comparisons of the earth and stars, but we're just like a little speck in the universe. And yet God says, I know you. I know you intimately. We know, don't we, the scripture tells us before the words are formed on our lips, God knows what we're going to say. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows us. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? I know you. The third thing is, I've got plans for you. He says, I've got plans. I know the plans that I have for you. That word plans means thoughts, purposes, specific plans. He's got specific places for us to live, specific places for us to work, neighbors that we can share the gospel with. Amen. I hope you believe that with all your heart, that where you are specifically called to that place, to that church, to that locale. Amen. We're not just randomly moving around, but God has a specific calling on our lives. For I know the plans I have for you. Let's look at Psalm 139. Some incredible verses. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 17, Psalm 139. Or we could look at 13. You formed me in my mother's womb. Jump down to 17. How vast are your thoughts to me, O God? Isn't that beautiful? Now, I know this was written by David, but God's word is very specific, isn't it? It tells us, I don't have any favorites. I'm no respecter of persons. It doesn't mean to say that God had vast thoughts just about David. God has vast thoughts about each one of us. How vast is the sum of them? Verse 18, if I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that God thinks about you? God thinks about us. Incredible. Ordinary. Broken people. Sinners, saved by grace. Amen. God thinks about you. He knows you. He made you. He loves you. And he says, I've got plans for your life. I've got plans for you. Ah, it's wonderful, isn't it? Hey, man, I've got plans for you. Nothing in our lives is random. We're not victims of circumstance or chance. The sovereign, supreme Yahweh, ruler of the universe, says, I've got plans for your life. Hallelujah. Amen. And as we think about this, what kind of plans does he have for us? Let's turn back to Jeremiah. He says, I have plans, declares the Lord, for welfare. Now, I read New American and ESV, and neither of them really got it right. The King James has plans for peace. And this word is an amazing word. As I studied it, I actually ran out of time. It was just such a huge word. But the word is shalom. And this is a beautiful word. And so God's saying, I've got plans of shalom for you. Now, what does the word shalom mean? It's an incredible word. This is what the word shalom means. It means completeness, soundness, wholeness, welfare, peace, safety, health, prosperity, tranquility. Isn't that good? Some people really need tranquility, don't they? Right? Tranquility, quiet, contentment, friendship with God in covenant relationship. I just love that. God's plans for us so that we would be his friend. Ah, it's beautiful, isn't it? The Yahweh, Creator God Almighty. Supreme God that formed everything we see and everything we can't see. My plans for you are shalom, quietness, peace, tranquility. That you would be my friend in a covenant relationship. Absolutely incredible. Incredible. It's what God wants for us, brothers and sisters, this year. Is that we would move and grow ever deeper and richer in the friendship of God. Absolutely mind-blowing, staggering, breathtaking. That Almighty God would love us so much in all of our smallness and ordinariness. There's 8 billion of us on the earth at the moment. And God says, I've got plans for you. And these plans for you are shalom. To be my friend, to enter into a covenant relationship with me, so that you can enjoy peace and tranquility, prosperity, health and blessing and life. Incredible. It's what God wants for us. Shalom. Shalom. It's a beautiful thing. Here's a quote that I read that was really neat. It says, shalom speaks of personal peace, not merely referring to the absence of trouble or conflict, but positively of completeness, wholeness, contentment, welfare, health, prosperity, harmony, fulfillment. You know, when we think of harmony, everybody sings in harmony, hopefully, right? The opposite is discord, isn't it? When people are singing out of tune And somebody was telling me about, people who are tone deaf. Right? Everybody sings in harmony. It's a beautiful thing where we're caught up in this great song that the Lord is singing. And we're just in harmony with God. Beautiful thing. Peace is one of the blessings that flow out of a right relationship with God. Shalom is a term that includes all that makes life worthwhile. This is the peace that God wants to give us. Let's look at Romans 5:1. This puts it into a new covenant context. It's the same idea that Paul would have had in his mind of shalom, peace. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only way that we can experience shalom. It's the only way that we can experience this peace and tranquility that God wants for us is if we're in Christ Jesus. If we've been justified by faith. Let's turn back to Romans 3, 24. Well, let's go 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know, don't we, that all are sinners. As it says in the Old Testament, the soul that sins must surely die. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Verse 24, being justified. Now we know, don't we, justified, it means to be acquitted. To be counted as innocent when we were guilty. Justified as a free gift. Justified as a free gift by His grace. By His unmerited favor. Hallelujah. This is what God has for us. His grace. We sing, don't we? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. This is the grace of God. That we who were once sinners and far away are now drawn near and redeemed by the blood of Christ. If we finish the verse, we're justified freely as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. We've been redeemed. I mean, the word picture for redeemed is like a slave that's bought by a slave owner, purchased on a slave auction, and then set free. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. So that we can live free in Christ. We can experience the shalom of God through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way we can experience it. Outside of Christ, we experience guilt and shame, worry and care. But all this verse tells us, let's go back to turn the page forward to 5 verse 1. Therefore, having been justified. Having been justified by faith. So upon the exercise of our faith, we're justified. And through the blood of Jesus, we're counted as righteous. As though we've never sinned. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we get shalom peace, is through Jesus. All the time we're trying to live our own way. Do our own thing. Strive in our flesh. Even if we're striving to please God, we'll never experience this kind of peace. It's only through Jesus Christ. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of welfare. Plans of peace. Plans to enjoy the shalom of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is what God has for us this year. More of Jesus. Amen. God wants to take us on to more of Him than we've ever experienced before. These are the plans that He has for us. Now we know we can frustrate the grace of God, can't we? We can resist God. We can stand against Him. We can live in our own strength and by our own will. But the Bible's very clear, it will only lead to harm. I believe this is the longing of every heart, that we would enjoy the shalom of God, His peace that passes understanding. How's your heart this morning? Are you at peace with God? Have you made peace with your Maker? It's a wonderful thing. It's not too hard for anybody. We come by faith through grace. Grace is unmerited favor. It's not like there's a kind of a second tier of people that they're okay. They can get there, but we can't. God invites everybody, come. Come unto me, all ye who weary and are heavy laden. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's what Jesus was talking about. This shalom of God, the peace of God. You'll find rest for your souls. Oh, you're anxious this morning, worrying about life, guilty maybe about your past. God says, come, enter into my rest. Enter into the rest of Yahweh, supreme ruler of the universe, who has plans for you. They're plans to give you peace and welfare. Let's go back to 29:11, just to wrap up that verse. There's a couple of other things that the Lord speaks. He says, I've got plans to give you peace and not calamity. And I want to talk a little bit about this word where he says, I haven't got plans for calamity. And I believe one of Satan's strategies in our lives is that we question the goodness of God. When things go wrong, when they don't turn out like we expected, we can blame God. And Satan comes in and says, God doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. He's not interested in you really. God says, my plans for you are not to bring calamity, evil. You know, sometimes bad things happen, don't they? What we think are bad things. You know, we get sick. Or we may lose our job, or things are difficult financially. Or maybe somebody passes away, somebody dies. And immediately the enemy comes in. Oh, God isn't good. He doesn't love you. He doesn't care about your life. And these are lies from hell. They're lies. This is what God says about you. My plans for you are not for calamity. God's plans are always to bless us. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. God's plans for us are not evil. They're not to bring calamity into our lives. And he goes on to say, doesn't he? I'm going to give you a future and a hope. And I just want to finish by saying, you know, the future is bright in Jesus. In Proverbs 31, it talks about the woman. And I believe it's speaking of the church. And in verse, I think it's 25, if I remember rightly, but towards the end, yet I think it's 25, yeah. It says, the woman, she looks at the future and smiles. Because she knows that God's going to be there. Amen. She looks ahead. Let's look at 2015 and smile. Because we know that whatever happens, God's plans for us are shalom. Not to harm us, not to bring calamity. But God says, I know the plans I've got for you. And they're to give you a future and a hope. You have a future. You have a future. You know, Tony prayed out this morning, didn't he? God has not forgotten me. And amen. Whatever you're facing today, God has not forgotten you. He's not forgotten you. How can he forget you? It says in Isaiah that he's engraved you on the palm of his hands. Your name is written on his hands. How can he forget you? You know, when we want to remember something, we write it, don't we, on our hands. Like if I go to the grocery store, I'm really bad at remembering things, my wife tells me. So sometimes I write them on my hand so I can see them. They're always there, right? Isn't that amazing? God says, I've written your name on my hand. God hasn't forgotten you. No matter what you're going through this morning, God has not forgotten you. It's a lie from hell. The devil loves to whisper these lies into our minds. Oh, you've been forgotten. You failed too badly. You're on the shelf now. No. God says, I've got plans for your life. I haven't forgotten you. You've got a future. Amen. You've got a future. You have a future in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And the last word is hope. We've got a hope. It's an interesting word in the Hebrew. But this word hope means, it just means rope. I didn't know this as I was studying this verse. It means rope. It's the same word that Rahab hung out of her window. That red scarlet cord. Right? Same word, hope. She hung out that red cord. And all around her was falling apart. Right? Jericho. Remember the story? Jericho. All around her was falling apart. She hung that red little string out of that window. She hung hope out of the window. And her house survived, didn't it? The only house in Jericho that stood firm on that day was a house of hope. Had a rope dangling out the window. It wasn't much, was it? Just a little red rope. But she had put her hope in Jehovah, Yahweh. And all around us may be crumbling. But this morning, I want to encourage us. Let's hang out a rope to Jesus. Let's hang out hope. Let's put our hope and trust in Jesus. And even if it seems like everything's falling apart, God says, I can keep you. I can keep you. Those who hope in the Lord will not be disappointed. It says that in Romans, doesn't it? Romans 10. Those who hope in the Lord will never be put to shame. Amen? Another rendition is that they will never be disappointed. If you put your hope in Jesus this morning, God's word promises you will not be disappointed. Amen? Amen. What a wonderful hope we have in Christ Jesus. I love that. Hope and rope. Same word. She just hung out that rope and her house. And it says all her household was saved. Amen? All of them. I know many of us are praying for our children and other people's children. All of her household was saved. And you know what? She was a prostitute. She was a heathen. But something about Jehovah had captured her heart. And she says, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of those people. And we know, don't we, that as we read through the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew, her name is in there. Isn't that incredible? It's a beautiful thing. She hoped in Jehovah, and Jehovah blessed her more than she could ask or think. Isn't that wonderful? And I believe that's what the Lord wants to do for us this year. He wants us to put our hope unreservedly, wholeheartedly in Jesus. And he says, I'm going to bless you. She never knew that she was going to be an ancestor of the Messiah. Did she? A prostitute from Jericho. I mean, how could it be? How crazy? How unthinkable could it be? Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? God says, put your trust in me this morning. Put your hope in me. I'm faithful. We sang, great is thy faithfulness. In all of life's ups and downs, I'm faithful. I'll be with you. Oh, there's so many verses we could go to, but I'll never leave you or forsake you. Right? Hebrews 13. I'm the one changing, God. Verse 8, I'll never change yesterday, today and forever. Jesus Christ is the same. Still calling people to come unto him. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you my rest, my shalom. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Tom said last week, and I absolutely wholeheartedly agree with this, that we have to make a choice. We have to nail our colors to the mast. Like the servant of old who wanted to stay in the house where he was a slave. He would take his ear and they would nail it to the doorpost. Right? He was saying, I'm in. I'm in. I'm not leaving. I'm a bond slave of Jesus. That's what I'm asking you to do this morning. I'm asking you to respond in your heart and say, God, you know what? I am in. I'm going to trust you for 2015. I'm going to believe that you can work all things together for good. I'm going to believe that your plans for me are good. They're not to harm me. I might not always agree with them. There might be difficulties along the way, but God, I am going to be obedient to you this year. That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to respond. And I'm responding in my heart saying, God, yes, I want to be obedient. I want to trust Yahweh. I want to trust the maker of the universe. I want to trust in Jesus and receive that shalom that God has for me. Amen.